No matter who is in the wrong or who has been wronged or the one that is hurting, mercy is the answer. And let's not underestimate the hurt that marital problems create. The sense of rejection, the bitterness that can develop, and the inner hurt that is harmed and caused by such an action against a marriage. And mercy should be extended to the whole family. Usually in these situations, a whole family is hurting.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Colliher. We're bringing God's Word today from Matthew 5, verses 31-32 on divorce. The statistics in our country today are really disheartening when it comes to the breakdown in marriage. That bond or contract, which is the foundation of society, it is the very building block of any community, and yet so often marriage fails. It is a great tragedy. And the church must step up and answer some of these problems. And we have to come to the Bible and ask, what exactly does the Bible teach on the subject of divorce? So we come to the Sermon on the Mount, to Matthew 5, verses 31 and 32, the words of our Lord Jesus. It hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committeth adultery. These are very firm words of the Lord Jesus. And it was to counter a cultural issue amongst Judaism. There were various schools of thought, and they opened up almost any little avenue for a man to put away his wife. They would quote Moses, they would quote their own traditions, and they would make it somewhat really a joke when it came to putting away a person's wife for almost any cause. The Lord Jesus narrowed the field and brought it into proper proportion. And I trust that today you'll stay tuned with us as we go to our pulpit message on this, a sermon on the command of God concerning divorce and what are the responsibilities of those whom God has joined together. We know the Lord says, let no man put asunder. So there is a sacred bond, a sacred trust, and there's a great damage when divorce takes place. So take heed, join with us now for this message.
And let's not underestimate the hurt that marital problems create, the sense of rejection, the bitterness that can develop, and the inner hurt that is harmed and caused by such an action against a marriage. And mercy should be extended to the whole family. Usually in these situations, a whole family is hurting. If there are children, and especially where there are teenage children, well, there is a great deal of hurt going on in that family. And this is an opportunity and a time when there needs to be a ministry of comfort, a ministry of love, and a ministry of caring. Because when a husband and wife are torn apart, and when divorce is pursued and all of that, well, it's like a death without a funeral. It's like there's no closure to this. There's no healing to this. And this is where a ministry of mercy, of love and grace is required. Mercy should be shown by the whole church. It's a time to minister in love and kindness, to show the love of the Lord Jesus. And divorce, even due to adultery, is not the unpardonable sin. Let's remember that. It's not something that cannot be forgiven. Now, it is a terrible sin. It's a great, ugly hurt. But it can be forgiven. There is power in the justifying grace of God to pardon, to wash away the sins that can harm a marriage. And remember that the Pharisees' approach to such a thing was stoning. If they were to put away their wife due to this, they could be stoned to death. There was no mercy there. There was no showing of compassion. And the Lord Jesus, well, his treatment of the woman that was taken in adultery was very different from that harsh treatment. And you remember how they brought this woman to the Lord. You can read of this in John chapter 8. They brought this woman to the Lord and to his feet, accusing of adultery, and they were going to have her stoned. And the Lord just wrote something on the ground. If you remember, Dr. Allen, who was here with the Trinitarian Bible Society, he preached on that text, and he pointed out that the Lord Jesus wrote on the ground an Old Testament reference, and it brought such conviction upon the hearts of the accusers that when Jesus said, "He that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone," and they all walked away. They all walked away. And the Lord said to the woman, "No man hath condemned thee, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Now remember, the Lord did not say it wasn't a sin. He dealt with her that she could be pardoned and forgiven on the basis of grace. And this is the healing message that we may bring to hurting hearts. When you think of all the broken homes and the hurting marriages that are in our country and in our city around us tonight, there is the power of the gospel to heal, to pardon, and to send someone away relieved from all the guilt and the shame of that. And if that is your case tonight, then look to Christ. Go to Christ. Go to the cross. Go to the blood that was shed for sinners. And the sin of unfaithfulness, infidelity, adultery can be washed away by the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus. Now, mercy should also be shown by each person in the marriage. And it's not just the person who is guilty, but the person also who has been wronged. There is a need for healing on both sides. And it is the application of the gospel that can bring comfort and reassurance in that situation. In divorce cases, the effects are very often lifelong. It's not something that's going to be immediately fixed, but something that can last for a long time. And as someone has described it, that a marriage breakdown, and especially when someone proceeds to a divorce and legally it's over, and maybe there's another person in the scene, in the picture, well, it becomes like scrambled eggs. And you can never get those eggs back into their shells again and reset that first position. And in that sense, the harm is done, and it's lifelong. And you have to recognize the harm that has been done. But there is mercy and grace with God to be forgiven, to regain your testimony, to regain your present marriage, and to press on in the grace of God and to enjoy that. And every one of us need to be humble and compassionate, because let's face it, there go I, but for the grace of God. And we each need to be cognizant of the mercy that ought to be displayed when people have marital problems and issues, and some of them that end up in divorce. Now, I move now to the prevention is better than cure. And while we don't always have all the answers, and there aren't always easy answers, and there are difficult cases, let's start tonight with the realization that you never enter into a marriage with the idea that it can be broken off at whim. And anyone who is entering into marriage must realize that it's the will of God, it is the perfect will of God, that this union of man and wife, that they walk with each other, they love each other all their days. And that ought to be the mindset. And too often, marriage becomes an experiment. Too often people say, well, we can try it for a while and see if it works. The attitude ought to be that this union is for life, and with commitment, and with that determination that we will make it work through the rough patches, through the difficult times. We will endeavor to make this work. Second thing I would say is never seek divorce for petty reasons, thinking that it's the easy answer. And I think too often this happens. People just say, well, that's it, we're done. We're getting out of this marriage because there's going to be an easy answer somewhere else. And when the issues are really small and can be overcome and worked out, people think that the easy answer is just to go their separate ways. Well, it's never the easy answer. And while there are struggles and pressures and sometimes discouragements within a marriage that have to be worked through, it is best because you have God's help. You have God's promises. You will have the Spirit of God to enable you to work and to endeavor and to endure right through that marriage. If divorce ever becomes the respectable norm of society, well, the whole of society will stoop to chaos. If marriage vows do not mean anything and can be broken at will, well, is there any contract, any agreement, any business deal, any arrangement between men and women that can ever stand if whenever people make a commitment before God, before family, and before friends that they are going to love one another and continue in their marriage with one another all of their days? Now, divorce is never the easy way out. It is God's provision for those impossible cases where there is no hope. Sometimes there is abandonment. Sometimes there is a party that will not communicate. Sometimes there is some will just refuse to even try to reconcile. And there is one person left with an impossible situation. And eventually it ends up in divorce. My advice always is, do not be the one that presses for divorce. If it's going to happen, and it's going to be through that obstinate partner that will not communicate, will not reconcile, well, you become the victim of the person. This divorce was brought against you and proceeded against you. You were not the one pressing and seeking a way out of your marriage. And so these are the areas where prevention is better than cure. Now, I think tonight we need to thank God for the marriages that we do have. And perhaps in this age where there is so much marriage breakdown, so much hurt, so much disappointment in marriage roles, that we as a church need to pray more. We need to recognize the goodness and the grace of God in the marriages that He does give, and the blessings that we have in the marriages God has given. After all, a good wife is better than riches. That's what the book of Proverbs tells us. And he that findeth a wife hath found a good thing. And likewise for wives and godly husbands. And so we need to thank God every day. I would suggest to any husband and wife here tonight, thank God every day, unitedly, for each other. Be on your knees, pray together, give God the thanks that you have been brought together and kept together and given grace to live together, and that you might enjoy the marriage that God has given you. Also, I would suggest, never stop working at making your own marriage better, stronger, and sweeter. That will never stop. There will always be need to improve. Always be need to work at your marriage. They cannot be left unattended. They cannot be left carelessly. We must press and seek to love one another faithfully and be wise, be caring, and show that love and show that desire to continue faithful in that love. And do not give the devil the advantage. Do not leave things wide open, leaving your partner in a spirit of fear, but rather giving reassurance that your love is constant and abiding. So use any opportunity to show your love and appreciation. We don't get hung up on days of the year, but we have Mother's Day and we have Father's Day and we have various days in the year and opportunities when we can show that love and respect. But mind you, there's a lot of days in between, and there's a lot of other opportunities that we ought to take that we might demonstrate and show that love of heart. If more emphasis was placed on the commands that are given to husbands and wives in Ephesians 5, I think we would have healthier marriages. Now, I think you'll be familiar with Ephesians 5. We have commands like, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. That is a colossal statement. That is one that no man will ever rise above. And that is a call and a command that is given to us. And then in the same passage, wives, submit to your husbands, honoring them in the Lord. And that's a great command. But also in that same chapter, there's the help to do it. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And after that command to be filled with the Spirit, the apostle goes into husbands, love your wives, wives, honor your husbands, and how we are one flesh and so on. And that is Ephesians chapter 5 is a very special chapter that we should give due attention to. And it's good for husbands and wives to read it together, pray over it together, and use it as a basis of strengthening your own marriage. Now, I think most people who have had marital problems or maybe have come through divorce and maybe remarried again, I think that most people will regret that they did not put more effort into their marriage. And when that huge problem arises and it's irreconcilable and there seems to be no answer, well, as you look back, you say, well, I could have done that, and I could have done that, and I could have done that. So let us not go through life with regrets, but rather make prevention better than cure, and see that we give that attention and give that time to the things of God. And then we come back to the need for the church to pray. We should be praying as a church for the marriages of our congregation. No church will be stronger than the families within the church. No congregation will rise higher than the blessedness that men and women and husbands and wives are enjoying in their homes, in their daily spiritual walk. And when husbands and wives are praying together, walking together hand in hand through the daily rigors of life, and when they come along to God's house to worship, the spiritual blessing that's upon their own family, their own marriage, will now be magnified and multiplied in the assembly of the congregation. And so if we really want a strong church, if we want a church where we have the hand of God blessing that people, We've got to hone in on the individual homes, marriages, and families. And so we as a church ought to be praying for this and saying, Lord, build up your church. Give us men and women that are living for God in their homes. Let their homes be little churches through the week. And as we assemble together for the meetings of the church, we come with that unity that's in the family, that blessing of God that is upon husband and wife. And as we come to worship, then we seek God's blessing in a corporate fashion upon the whole life of the congregation. And of course, the home really is a picture of the church, living in fellowship with the Lord. And so, as we have looked at these few verses here tonight, we have tried to deal, number one, with the legal aspects. We've tried to deal here with the proper grounds that a person may be divorced, and that the reasons why we ought to pour all our energy into preserving, securing, and seeking God's blessing upon our marriages and upon our homes. And I trust you're doing that. I would say to any couple here tonight, give your time and attention to your marriage. That's the greatest gift you'll give your children. Good marriage, where you display the grace of God with humility, gentleness, Christ-likeness, and where you become a spiritual leader and a blessing in the home to your spouse and to all that are in your family. Now, when we grow older and we have children that are no longer at home, of course, we need to continue that we display that love of Christ in our marriages. And I think the greatest help that we can be to our children that are out of the home and perhaps are married themselves, that we continue to demonstrate God's grace, God's hand of blessing upon our own homes and our own hearts as we seek to be faithful to God in our marriages. And as we do that, then can we pray for the ripple effect and that example to become the blessing that will be poured upon our children and indeed their children in generations to come.
Good.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher. Appreciate you joining with us. And again, this is a very solemn subject, and yet one that many couples wrestle with. And of course, the last thing we want to do is to see anyone give up on their marriage vows and covenant. And so prevention is better than cure. It is better to keep working and keep uniting and keep striving, and of course, keep the devil out and don't allow temptation to divide your marriage. There are these steps that every Christian should take. First of all is remember what your marriage is worth. And concerning the happiness of your own life, but also the glory of God, because your Christian testimony, your walk with God is impacted by this. And then, of course, your spouse's life as well. And this is a ripple effect. It's not just you it is affected here. It is your spouse and perhaps your children and your extended family. Many, many people are hurt when marriage breaks down. Also, remember what God promises. He promises grace. He promises that he can make us overcomers and that we're not to be drunk with wine, we're in his excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And thereby we can exercise the submission that is so often the glue to keeping marriages together. And then as we look back over time, let's have marriages where there are no regrets, that we will not regret being of a proud spirit, causing damage, and failing to give it every opportunity of healing. And there is work to put into it, and the Lord calls us to do that. May God graciously bless you and encourage your heart and give you that sure hope that Christ is your Redeemer and Helper in every issue of life. You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We are on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the homepage of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-897-2040. The mailing address is 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.